This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Kim Nuxall, son of Cincinnati baseball legend Joe Nuxall, is carrying on his father's dreams to provide a safe, happy place for children of all abilities to play baseball. The Joe Nuxall Miracle League fields at Hatton Park and Fairfield will be adding additional safe playground areas near their ball fields. Kim Nuxall and fellow board member Larry Tischler join us to talk about the Miracle League fields and the program's positive impact on the lives of so many children. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And first off, I'd like to say thanks for what you're doing, both of you. I watched the video about the Miracle League fields, and I was so touched by how this really does bring the joy of baseball to these children.
Well, it does. And thank you, by the way, for this opportunity. We love getting out and spreading the word and telling the story of really an amazing story up in Fairfield. But it is. It's something that brings great joy each and every game we show up to. We have a youth league. We have adults. So we have kids and adults ages 5 to 70 out playing ball. And, you know, on a personal note, it's always something I think about, of what Dad would think about this. He knew it was happening, and I'm glad of that. But boy, he would have loved to have been out there on a Saturday or a Friday night watching the games, no doubt.
I bet he would have. Kim, tell us the story about how the fields were built.
Well, I'll try to condense it down. You know, we started this kind of personally. I watched a video on HBO, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, some 10 years ago, and it kind of lit the fire, lit the idea, lit the dream. And I remember showing Dad the tape in his basement. And it was kind of like, we both thought, you know, someday, somehow, some way, we're going to make this happen. And we drudged along. Larry, my buddy here, and I have been working on it for quite a few years. And all of a sudden it just took off in 2011. We connected with, me personally, some of my old high school football buddies, and one in particular, Cliff Bound. We called it the Bound Train. Cliff kind of took the lead, and people just latched on. And it's an amazing community story in itself. I tell people all the time, the facility's wonderful, but really the story, how it was built, is even that much more of a story in itself.
Larry, how much of a community effort went into making this happen?
Well, that part of it, as Kim mentioned, is really unique. I think the entire project cost about $3 million. And that's for us to have money in an endowment, because we didn't want to just build something and not have any backup if we needed it. But the structure itself was about $2.3 million. And out of that $2.3 million, safely say at least $1.7 million was in kind. And that is labor, materials. As Kim mentioned, we had unions, non-union competitors, people that were fierce competitors in the asphalt industry or cement, whatever you take it. And they would all get together, and we'd meet once a week. And at the end of the day, well, before the end of the day, when they walked into that room, all egos were set aside, competition was set aside, and we had, like just the IBW, donated over 3,400 hours of unpaid labor. I mean, people that were out of work would come every day for 6 months and donate their labor. And all we ever did was we had a couple of food industry places in our neighborhood, Hammond's Catering, Chester's Pizza. They fed those guys every week for 6 months.
When you see that kind of cooperation, does it make you realize we're on the right track with this?
Well, as Kim said, you do. You cry when you see it, because people understand why you do and what we're doing. And no one ever asked, honestly, for anything in return. Can we have our name put up here or recognition? And at the end of the day, they would thank you, honestly, for allowing them to be part of it. And it does. It brings tears to your eyes. It's not easy to, when you think about it.
Kim, tell me about the children who are using the fields.
Well, you know, like I mentioned, we have as young as age five, and, you know, we have kids with varying disabilities. You know, we might have a child in a wheelchair or a walker or some other degree. But I think the ones that strike me are certainly the wheelchair-bound kids, because the field was built just for that, and the walkers, because it's a rubberized field, so they can move easily and freely around the ballpark. And the other feature that really stands out for me too is the great people at LSI Industries. They donated a 9-foot by 12-foot LED video board. So we have a pan tilt zoom camera. So you imagine this, you know, your child's playing ball for the first time in their life, and they look up and see their image up on that video board. So that's something that we're really proud of. And, you know, to look and see the smile on the kids' faces is certainly one thing, but you also look up and see quite often certainly a smile, but often a tear in the parents' faces as well, as they watch their kid out there having fun.
Oh, I bet you do. Now, are there leagues for adults as well?
Yes, we have a separate league for adults. They play typically on Wednesday and Friday evenings in the spring into the summer, and our youth league plays on Saturdays, starting in that we have a spring league, summer league, and a fall league. So it's gotten good use. We've wrapped it up for this year, but I know we're all chomping at the bit to get it going next spring.
Larry, what are the rules of the Miracle League?
Well, actually, they're pretty loose rules. When I say loose rules, the intention is for these children and adults to get up there and have fun. Whether they need assistance, you know, with you know, hitting the ball or anything like that, the rule really is everyone gets up, gets a chance to bat. They bat through. We usually play about 3 innings. One of the things I do want to mention, in our youth leagues, we have what we call a buddy system, where each child is paired up with a child, or might be a high school football player. We have several of the local high schools that'll bring their football teams down, or the basketball teams or whatever, and they serve as that child's buddy for the entire day. So if there's a child that gets up, is in a wheelchair, if he can swing the bat, fine. If not, we have a batting machine that they push a button, and the bat swings and hits the ball for that child. And then that buddy will wheel that child down to first base and take him around the bases and so forth. And that is instilled, I would say we have a base group of well over 250 to 300 children that have signed up as buddies that come down every week to assist these children as they play.
So, Larry, it sounds like volunteers are crucial to making this work.
Oh, our organization is 99% volunteers, and it's whether it be people that come and work the concession stands every week, people that come in and clean the restrooms, take care of the fields, every aspect of that is strictly a volunteer operation.
Hey, Kim, you had a lot of community involvement getting the project going. You've got a lot of community involvement in terms of the volunteers, and it's just been an outpouring, hasn't it?
Well, it has, and that's one of the rewarding pieces of it. You know, Larry mentioned the buddies, you know, and I think that's something we knew was going to happen, but even as you step back and watch and talk to the buddies, realizing the impact, you know, it's made on those kids, on a teenage kid to work with these kids. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about bullying in our society, and I think this is a wonderful opportunity for that anti-bullying message, you know, to teach kids empathy and caring, is to give them firsthand experiences. And that's something we feel really good about, is that impact on the buddies. But, community wide, it's just ongoing. It's, boy, the service organizations, the church groups, whatever it might be, everyone seems to be kind of stepping up to the plate, if you will, to help the cause.
Talking with Kim Nuxall and Larry Tischler about the Joe Nuxall Miracle League fields. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Larry, when I watched the video about this, it really did move me. I mean, I was moved to tears at some point. It was so neat to see the fun and the joy that the children are getting from playing at the Miracle League fields. Is that part of how you measure the success of this project, all the smiling faces that you see?
I think that's it. And not only the smiling faces on the children, Kim and I love to say that every Saturday there's another story. And I think one of the things that touched me the most was one Saturday at the game, there was a grandparent, an elderly man, was sitting in a seat behind the fence at home plate, and he was crying. And I walked up and I asked him, I said, is everything okay? And he got up out of his chair and he was crying and put his arms around me and he said, thank you. He said, I never thought I'd ever see my grandson doing this. Oh. And honestly, that type of stuff happens every week.
Oh, that is wonderful.
And it's just, that's what makes it so worth it. And it's very tough to explain. I apologize. It's just art.
That's okay. Kim, what success stories have you seen?
Boy, it's going down the line. Like Larry said, it's truly each week, similar stories where parents come up and grandparents. I think that's just when I think of the whole general picture of it all, it's that joy that we bring to the kids and the parents. And, you know, we built the facility with the parents in mind too. If you've ever been out, you notice, for instance, our seating, we talked about, you know, what these parents have been through raising a special needs child. And we all know someone who does. You know, maybe in a family or a friend, but we thought, how can we make this special for them? So, our seating, for instance, rather than the old aluminum bleachers that we all can tolerate for about 15 minutes, we have stadium seating. So it's just like sitting at Great American Ballpark, full set of stadium seats so they can relax. And that's, something that gives them an hour where they can just relax and not worry about this or that. They can simply watch their kids out there playing ball and having fun.
Tell me about the grant that you recently received, how that's going to be used.
Well, you know, another wonderful part is the people who support us. I mentioned, you know, some of the service organizations but certainly foundations. And Bob Crotty with the Green Diamond, but his foundation is the Character and Courage Foundation. And Larry and I use the term often when we meet with people, we come across people who really get it. And Bob really gets it. The Character and Courage Foundation basically mission fits ours perfectly. They serve kids with disabilities and so on. So they came to us, and in particular, this most recent grant, $15,000. We realized we need an area for the siblings of the kids playing. So lo and behold, Character and Courage steps up along with Recreation Outlets and Pete Deloys, and we have a playground for kids to play on while their brothers or sisters are out playing ball. In some cases, we have a hard time. Some of our players mosey over there during the game, and we have to get them back over to the ballpark. But that's a good thing; they're having fun.
Absolutely, Larry. You just had the first annual Joe Nuxall Miracle Ball. Tell me about that event.
It was unbelievable. We sold out. I think 2 to 3 weeks before the event happened, we had over 400 people, numerous sponsorships. We honored Marty Brenneman with the Joe Nuxall Award for Outstanding Achievement in Broadcasting. Mr. Castellini, as well as many of the Reds broadcasters and so forth, were at the event. It was held at the Oscar Event Center in Fairfield. Just a tremendous turnout, a huge success, and this will be our annual event, our major annual event every year, in addition to the other things that we do to help raise money. As you know, we do not receive any like state or other type money, but the event was great, nothing but good response and good return on it, and a nice way to start off something that you're going to do every year.
Kim, what are some of the other legacy projects that your father had?
Well, what I consider really Dad's baby, he started back in 1985, was the Joe Nuxall Scholarship Fund. And that will be in its 30th year this coming May 28th, which is funded by a golf outing each year. So we use the scholarship fund to distribute $28,000 annually to every high school, $2,000 each to all 14 high schools in Butler County. So I know Dad really has a big smile on his face on that, knowing that that's continued here, 7 years after his passing. Then we have the Joe Nuxall Character Education Fund, which is kind of near and dear to my heart. Being in the teaching profession for 32 years, I became really passionate about how do we teach kids to be respectful and responsible and caring and determined and to work hard and so on. So we continue that work to help schools and teachers integrate character into their classroom. The Reds Rookie Success League, which we partner with the Reds Community Fund, is another big program where we bus kids from all over Butler County for a character building baseball camp. And then the one that's on the horizon, our next big dream, is to build an indoor facility. So we'll be a year-round facility, and that's the Joe Nuxall Center for Disability. So we're very excited about that. We're in the early stages, but that's our, like I said, our next big dream.
Kim and Larry, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Kim Nuxall and fellow board member Larry Tischler with the Joe Nuxall Miracle League.